We were discussing the inyan of Parshas Zachar, whether Parshas Zachar is a deraisa or derabanan, and whether or not one needs a minyan for Parshas Zachar. So those are the two basic questions of Parshas Zachar. One is if it's a deraisa, number two is do you need a minyan. So we saw there's a machlokas Tosos here in Megillah and Tosos and Brachos. They both are of the opinion that Parshas Zachar is a chiv deraisa, that you have to hear it from a sefer. Midiraisa. They don't address the question of a minyan, but they do say has to be read from a sefer midiraisa. That's the shita of Tosfos in two places. And then we saw that the Rambam and the Ramban both say that there is no chiv to read it from a sefer Torah. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs Ase Kuf Pei Tes that Lizkor Masha Asalanu Amalek. This is number six. I'm going out of order a little bit. To remember what Amalek did to us, but he doesn't make any mention of from a sefer. He just says to remember it, b'chol eis veis. And he says the same thing in Hilchos Malachim. And the Ramban is along of the same opinion that he says some people say you have to read it from a sefer Torah, but he thinks the only mitzvah of Amalek is to tell your children and grandchildren about Amalek. So the Rambam and Ramban say it's a mitzvah b'peh, and the Tosa says it's a mitzvah b'sefer. That's the first machlokas. So what's the basis of this machlokas, whether or not you have to read from a sefer Torah or not read from a sefer Torah? So that was the sugya we learned in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And that was the whole drasha. The Gemara says that how do you know that you can't read Megillas Esther Baal Peh? So the Gemara quoted a whole drasha here. It says Zechira by Amalek. It says Zechira by Megillas Esther. So just like Amalek is B'Sefer, Megillah is B'Sefer. So that understanding is that just like Parsha Zachar is from a Sefer, so to Megillah has to be from a Sefer. So we see Parsha Zachar has to be read from a Sefer. So the Sugya in Yud Ches, says the Bach, is the clear Raya for Tosos, that you have to read Parsha Zachar from a Sefer Torah.
It's not saying anything about whether Hebrew or English, though, or any
language. Right. About Hebrew or English, it's a whole... Exactly.
From a book or not from...
Whatever the definition of a Sefer Torah is, from Hebrew language, it has to be... Parsha Zachar must be read from a Sefer Torah, whatever that definition is. So that explains why Tosfos holds that the Parsha Zachar has to be read from a Sefer. So then the question becomes, so how come... The Mishnah says that you cannot read Megillas Esther Baal Peh. You have to read it from a Sefer, or Megillas Esther.
Isn't the mitzvah al Mikra Megillah? It's not a mitzvah Zechira, it's a mitzvah of Kriya.
Right, but what's the source? How do you know what's the basis for that? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, since it calls Megillas Esther Zecher, and it also calls Parshas Amalek Zecher, so we have a Gzeir Shava. Just like Parshas Amalek has to be read from a Sefer, so it's a Megillas Esther has to be read from a Sefer. So that assumption is that Parshas Amalek, which is the source of Megillas Esther, the assumption is that Parshas Amalek has to be read from a Sefer. That's what the Gemara clearly says here. Now the Gemara doesn't bring a Raya, how do you know Parshas Zachar has to be read from a Sefer, but that was the assumption of the Gemara. So the Bach says this is the basis for Shitas Tosos, that you have to read Parshas Amalek from a Sefer Torah, and it's not sufficient to just recite the words, to recite the Psukim, or at least even discuss the story. That's not going to be sufficient. So this is the Mefurish Gemara Yud Ches, that you have to read Amalek from a Sefer, again, because that's the model for Megillas Esther, which also has to be read from a Sefer Torah. So then the question becomes, how does the Rambam and Ramban get away with saying you don't have to read Parshas Amalek from a Sefer? They said it's enough to just Zechir Ba'alma, just to remember. So what's the answer? So Pnei Yeshua says, the whole Sugya Yud Ches, which talks about a Sefer, is really not the real drasha. He says, you go back to the first parak of Megillah, and that pasuk of Zecher is used for a whole nother drasha having to do with Megillas Esther and nothing to do with Parsha Zachar. So that's how he neutralizes the Gemara Yud Ches, and he therefore says that that's why the Rambam and Ramban hold that you don't have to read from a Sefer Torah. So it ends up just being a machlokas and sugyas, one gemara in Yud Ches in Megillah, the other one I think was Daf Tes in Megillah, and Hadi Paskin. That's really what it comes down to, whether you have to read from a Sefer Torah or not. And the Shulchan Aruch brings the Yesh Omrim. He says, there are those who hold that Parsha Zachar is Midaraisa, and that's based on this sugya. So that's step one, whether or not it has to be read from a Sefer Torah. But then there's the whole other level of whether or not you need a minyan. So let's assume you paskin like the Shulchan Aruch's Chumrah and Tosfos that you have to read from a Sefer Torah. Could I just go take the Sefer Torah out on my own and read the Parsha, at the end of Parsha's Kisetze, read a Zeichar Malik, and will I fulfill my mitzvah? or do I need to have a minion of people there in order to fulfill this mitzvah? That's the next question. So you guys saw the sugya in Brachos Daf Mem Ches. Amud Beis, a very famous sugya. We discussed this about having a minion. And then the nine guys in the shul, and there's one guy, there's the Eved Kanani, who is not part of a minion. We know to be counted as part of the minion, you need to have to be a gadol, you have to be a Jew and a gadol. An Eved Kanani is not a Jew. He's at best a half-Jew. There's a big machlok, because we discussed this many times, that what's the status of an Eved Kanani? We know he's chayiv in mitzvahs, whatever, women are chayiv, so the Eved Kanani is chayiv in mitzvahs as well, just like the women are, based on the Gezer Shava, la. So we discussed this, whether or not the non-Jew, the Eved Kanani rather, is viewed as a miktas Yisrael, or he's really a non-Jew. But the reason why he does mitzvahs like a woman is because the Gaonim hold that when he's in the house of a Jew, that's the minhag ha'makom. If you're going to be living in a Jewish home, you have to follow the mitzvahs, not because you're chayiv, because that's the minhag, what to do. So the Gaonim say that a Eved Kanani is not really a Jew. He just practices them by derech minhag. And most other Yisraelim hold that he is chayiv, he's really a Yid, he's just a miktas Yisrael. So what's a nafkamina? So the Gaonim hold that let's say the non-Jew runs away. So does he have to still keep mitzvahs or not? So the Gaonim hold, once he leaves the house of the Jew, he doesn't have to keep mitzvahs anymore because he's not really Jewish. It's only when you're in the makom you have to keep the minhag makom. But according to the other Rishonim, they say, no, you have to, even when he runs away, he's still a miktas Yisrael, no matter where he lives, and he would still have to keep the mitzvahs even when he runs away. And we have another nafkamina, whether or not he requires a tevila. The Rambam holds there's two tevilas. He goes to the mikvah twice. One when he goes in, when he starts the process of being an Eved, and one is when he leaves the process of being an Eved. That when an Eved Kanani gets freed, he becomes a full Jew. So the question is, if you hold like the Gaonim, that he was always a non-Jew, he never was a Jew in the first place. So there's no need for him to go to the mikvah in the beginning when he becomes an Eved, because he's still a non-Jew. So the Gerish process really happens at the end, when he gets freed, for whatever reason he gets freed, he becomes a Jew. That's the Geirus process. The mikvah is important at the end. But if you assume that when he becomes an Eved for the first time, he actually becomes a Miktas Yisrael, so then it's that first Tevila that's important because that transforms him into a Jew. Even though he's only a Miktas Yisrael, he still has a process of Geirus. That's a general machlokas how to understand an Eved Kanani, whether he's a Miktas Yisrael or whether he's still a guy who's just being noheg the mitzvahs. So you'll see this come up all over Shas. Fine. So now we have, you have a minion, and you have nine guys, and one guy is an Eved Kanani who's going to be your tenth person. So even if you assume he's a Miktas Yisrael, he's still not going to qualify as a minion because at best he's a woman, and women are not counted as part of the minion. So what do? So that's the famous Gemara where they freed the Eved Kanani. They're Meshachar Avdo, they freed the Eved, and they made him into a minion because freeing an Eved Kanani is going to transform him into a full bona fide Yid. And now we have the minion. So the Gemara asks the question, how is that allowed? There's an Isser, or really a mitzvah aseh, liolam behem tavodu. Liolam behem tavodu means you have to forever enslave him. Liolam, forever, tavodu, have him enslaved. You have to, use an Isser to free him. So just going on tangents now, why not? So there's a big machlokas between the Ramban and the Sefer Chinuch as why you're not allowed to free him. What's the Isser of freeing him? So one of them holds, because it's the Ramban writes this on the Maseches Gittin, that we have the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that there's an Isser of Lo Sechanim. Lo Sechanim, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, we learn three different Isserim from Lo Sechanim. Anyone know the three Isserim we learn from Lo Sechanim?
What does that mean, Lo Sechanim?
The Lo Sechanim, literally means free. Chinam is free. So Lo Sechanim, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, there are three different Isserim we learn from Lo Sechanim. Anyone know the three Isserim?
Like complimenting a guy?
Right, you can't give chayin, you can't compliment, you can't say Michael Jordan is the best, I'm out of data. You can't say LeBron James or James Harden or whoever you want, Russell Westbrook, you can't say they're the best basketball player in the world because that's giving them chayin.
To their faces, yeah. Or just in general?
In general, it sounds like. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk much about this to define what's considered a compliment. It just says you can't say kama yafa, the Rashi's kama yafa goyze, kama, some things along those lines. How great, how beautiful, how amazing he is. That's one isser.
You so you taught him to think about giving Christmas presents to you, right? That was
a
question
of Lo Sechanim. Yes, Lo Sechanim. The second Isser we learned is you can't give a gift for free. You can't give free gifts to them. So let's say, you know, you're in a restaurant and you have leftover French fries. You say, you know, I'm not eating them. You could please take them. You don't know who the person is. So that's a violation of Lo Sechanim. You're giving them a free gift. But if you have a relationship with the person, so then that gift is viewed as part of the service. So you tip your mailman. That's not a free gift. He does service for you all day long. So you give him a present at the end of the year. So we're not getting involved in giving a Christmas presents because that might be an Isser of Chukas Akum. But let's say you're giving him an end-of-the-year present because it's the calendar year. Nothing to do with your holidays. So you could give him a tip because, and you should give him a tip because he does service for you all the time, door-to-door. He gets paid for it, but there's an in of a tip, and it's perhaps a Chil Hashem if you don't. But it's also paying for a service to a certain extent. Can you not give a tip to a waiter? Is that considered a free present? Of course not, because he gave you a service and you're paying for it. But let's say you're walking on the street and you give a random non-Jew some whatever it is, a free ticket on the bus, a train ticket, I don't need this anymore, take it, it's for you. That's violation of lo sechanim. That's the second issue. You cannot give free gifts. And anyone know that third issue we learned from lo sechanim?
I think I heard it used in the context of like land for peace, like making a treaty.
Very good.
With God.
Yeah, you cannot. Well, can't give any land. Forget peace, but you can never give land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. That's the third issue. So again, you can't give compliments. You can't give free gifts, nor could you give land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So the Ramban says freeing an Eved Kanani is a violation of lo sechanim, of giving them a free gift. To letting them go free, that's a violation of lo sechanim. So the Ramban understands then that firstly, that an Eved Kanani is a non-Jew. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in a discussion. Otherwise, if it's a mixed Eretz Yisrael, then it wouldn't be Lo Sechanim. That's number one. Number two is he understands it's only for free. But if you're doing it for a certain toeles, then you'd be allowed to. So he explains to Gemara here that since you're doing this to get a minion for yourself, that's not considered free. That's considered a tzorech, a certain toeles.
You're not doing it for him, right? Yeah,
exactly. As long as there's some goal in mind that you're gaining, that's not free. That's you're gaining something. So that's why this is not a violation of lo sechanim, says the Ramban. The Sefer Chinuch says otherwise. I'm not remembering how he says it. He argues on the Ramban what the Isser lo tavodu is. Forget how he formulates it. Either way, the Gemara says in Brachos that you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani, but if it's for the mitzvah here, the mitzvah of a minion, mitzvah derabim, you're permitted. So what's the mitzvah derabim here? Since when do we find that the mitzvah of a minion is so important? So these are one of the things that they say you don't say outside the Beis Medrash. The Shulchan Aruch writes the Lashon, and the Rambam writes this as well. I don't have the exact text in front of me, but liolam lishtadel, a person should always try hard to be part of a minion. You don't tell your children this, which means there's no chiv deraisa to daven in a minyan. It's a very wonderful thing to daven in a minyan. L'shtada, you should try really hard. Now, especially Bizman Hazeh, the Rav Moshe writes that a lot of times in America and elsewhere, the Baal Batim are really, they cling to the minyan. So if you tell them that davening minyan is only l'shtada, Dale, so they're going to, forget minyan as well. Then they're going to lose, that's their only thing they're holding on to sometimes. So we don't tell people outside the Beis Medrash. People waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to learn, you could tell them. But people outside, you don't really publicize this because then they say, minin, I'll daven at home. So it's only lehishtadel. It's a nice thing. And the reason why it's so important is because your davening, your tefillah gets answered much more when it goes in together as a tzibur. That's just in getting your tefillah answered. But in terms of fulfilling your obligation of tefillah, davening b'chidus is completely fine, midaraisa. So how come the Gemara says you're allowed to free the Eved Kanani to create a minin? The minin's not that important. So the Rosh says, well, you can't tell me it's referring to Parsha Zachar, which is deraisa to daven in a minyan. That's a deraisa, he says. Because it's very hard to say that this instance happened to be the Shabbos Parsha Zachar. That's very unlikely. So he says, in minyan in general, it's a kim of nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael. That even though there is no chiv to daven in a minyan, when a person does daven in a minyan, it actually is a kim of a deraisa of nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, of sanctifying Hashem's name. So even though many Rishonim, like the Rambam, hold it's only a hishtadel of davening a minyan, the Rush holds is a kiyum derais of davening a minyan. So that's what we should hold on to. But what the Rush ended up saying is, in his Havamina, he says that saying Parsha Zachar is a chiyav be'asara. You need a minyan for Parsha Zachar. Now he said that can't be what the Gemara is talking about because unlikely that was the one day a year that this story happened. But he does say that Parsha Zachar requires a minyan. That's the chiddush of the Rush. So on top of the earlier discussion we had, whether Zachar is deraisa or derabanan, the Rush adds it's also in a minyan. So where does the Rush get this, that you have to daven Parsha Zachar in a minyan? What's the basis for this? The Gemaras that we saw only spoke about having a requirement of a Sefer Torah or not, but a minyan, what's the need for a minyan? So any suggestions why the Rush would come away with saying you need a minyan to read Parsha Zachar? So Rav Asher Weiss has a piece. Yeah.
To strengthen the aspect of the Zechira, like to make it into like a Davisha B'Kdusha or something like that, the presence of a minyan lends a sense of formality and seriousness to it that it would strengthen the essence of the Zechira.
So why does the Zechira have to be with a minyan? Why does it have to be strengthened in such a way of Davisha B'Kdusha though? So along those lines, is Rav Asher Weiss quotes Pula Sacher, who's on the side of the Ma'aser Rav. The Ma'aser Rav is the Minhagim of the Gra. Rav Chaim Velazhin wrote them. And on the side of Pula Sacher, he gives the following explanation. It's based on the first assumption, though. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim and clearer in the Achronim whether the mitzvah of Zechir Amalek and Mechias Amalek are independent mitzvahs or whether they're talay on each other. So one of the big nafkaminas, the Gemara Sefer Chinuch says, is that women are pater in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. Now the reason why they're pater in Zechiras HaMalek is because they're pater in the Mechias HaMalek. They can't fight. They're not warriors. How do we know that women are not warriors? Anyone know the Gemara that says that we're not warriors? The Gemara says, you know?
It's Derech Lipo, the men are, what's the pasuk
yeah.
about Derech Lipo, she's men.
Very good.
Not for women.
Peruvu v'chavshu, the pasuk says, to procreate and conquer the world. So Gemara Nivamo said, maybe Samach Beis or so says, Derech Ish Lichbosh Vein Derech Isha Lichbosh. Men are warriors, so men are chayv in Peruvu. Peruvu v'chavshua. Women who are not warriors do not, are not engaged, are not chayv in Peruvu. Yes, the Ran writes in Kedushin that they're Misayeh B'davar, they're Hech Shemitzvah, but there is no Iker Chiv to women because they're not Bnei Kivushinu, they're not warriors. So along the same lines, the Sefer Chinuch writes, since they're not warriors, so they're not chayiv in Mechias Amalek. They don't fight in the war of Amalek. So since they're not chayiv in the fighting of Amalek, memela they're pater in the Zechiras Amalek. Because the whole goal of Zechira is in order to incite anger to what Amalek tried to do to us, so that gets us angry to fight against them. Since women are not fighting anyway, so then they're not chayiv in the Zechira aspect. That assumes that the two mitzvahs are very much connected. Minchas Chinuch has a problem with this, and he says, what do you mean? They're two different mitzvahs. One's Mechia, one's Zechira. So that's the basis of many discussions here. So how does this connect to our discussion? So the Pula Sacher says that the reason why you need a minyan for reading Parshas Amalek, the way I'm on, I didn't see this inside, the way it's being presented here at least, is because since the whole idea of Mechias Amalek is to raise Amalek, is to make Hashem's name full. The Pasuk says, so long as Amalek is around, I don't remember the exact Pasuk, that Hashem's name isn't full. It's a half. We're missing a couple of the letters. So now in order to make his name great and full again, so then we have to wipe out Amalek. So since Zechira leads to Mechias Amalek, which then is going to create Hashem's name great, it becomes a Davar Shiva Kedusha. Davar Shiva Kedusha is whenever you're sanctifying Hashem's name. So Zechira and Mechia is making Hashem's great, and then Hashem's name great, so that is a Davar Shiva Kedusha, and for that reason you require a minyan. That's the Chiddush of the Pula Sacher, very fascinating. Now, other explanations we brought down here that from Rav Asher Weiss as why you might need a minyan for Zechir Samalik is that he says the chiyuv of Mechia Samalik is a tzibur. Forget the Davar Shebekedusha right now. Just in general, whenever there's a mechama, the mechama is a tzibur, dika mitzvah, where the entire tzibur fights. You don't fight as individuals, you need an army. So that's a tzibur. So again, using that same assumption, the Karen Ora says, well, since Zechira is connected to Mechias Amalek, and Mechias Amalek, fighting Amalek, is a Tzibur Dika Mitzvah, so Memela Zechira is also a Tzibur Mitzvah, and that requires a minyan. That's the understanding of the Karen Ora, again, based on Mechias Amalek, when you fight in a war, that's a Tzibur, while the Pula Sacher says it's based on Davar Shiva Kedusha, creating Hashem's name again. There is another explanation you could say similar to this, that they're based on the Toras Kohanim. The Toras Kohanim has a big chiddush here, that the way you fulfill Mechias Amalek Bizman Hazeh, anyone remembers Toras Kohanim? How do you fulfill Mechias Amalek Bizman Hazeh? Many people say you can't fulfill Mechias Amalek Bizman Hazeh because we don't know who Amalek is. And Sancheir was Mevalbel. Those who learned Daf Yomi saw this recently, that Sancheir was Mevalbel. He mixed up all the nations of the world, and you have no idea who's Amalek, who's Ammon, who's Moab. You don't know who anyone is anymore. So there's no way of indicating who Amalek is until Mashiach comes. But the Toras Kohanim says there is a way still to be Mekayim Mechias Amalek Bizman Hazeh. Anyone know how that is? That it's based on a well-known assumption, Rav Soloveitchik understood this way, and many others, that Mechias Amalek is really an ideology. It's not one of yichus, not one of lineage, but it's an ideology of anyone who's out there to destroy Yiddishkeit, and Nazis, whether Taman, whoever it is, throughout history, they are considered the Amalek of the door. And that's the Akim of Mechias Amalek. How do you fulfill that? So the Toras Kohanim, if I remember correctly, says, by reading Parsha Zachar is a Akim of Mechias Amalek. By reading Parsha Zachar, it's a Akim of Mechias Amalek. How is that true? How does that make sense? Because if you assume that Mechias Amalek is getting rid of the ideology of Amalek, so the way to counter that is by learning Torah. The antithesis of Amalek is Limud HaTorah. So reading the Torah and reading it, B'tzibur, since Mechias Amalek is B'tzibur, we have to attack them as a nation, so now reading it is the way to attack them. Learning Torah and continuing the Mesorah of Limud HaTorah is the way of fighting Amalek. So since a Mechama, in the physical sense, is one of a Tzibur, so in a spiritual sense also, this fighting of Amalek should be one of the Tzibur. So there are a number of rayas for this, that how do you prove, other than this Torah Sekhanim, which says this pretty clearly, how do you prove that a Kiyim HaTorah is a Kiyim, learning Torah rather, and reading Parsha Zachar is a Kiyim of Mechias Amalek? So the Gemara says, where was Bnei Yisrael at the time when Amalek attacked them? Anyone know the name of the city? Remember the name of the city?
Refidim.
And what does the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? What is Refidim? Why that city? Rafu Yudayim B'Torah, or something like that. That since they were learning, they were weak in their learning, Bnei Yisrael, they were vulnerable. So now, in order to combat Amalek, you have to strengthen the Limud HaTorah, and particularly strengthening the Limud HaTorah as a Tzibur. There, it's fascinating that there's only a few places we have throughout all Kriyas HaTorahs in the year, there are only a couple places where we actually repeat a Pasuk, because it may have been a mistake. So what's the most obvious time we repeat a Pasuk? Right, Zachar, Zecher and Zecher. Where else do we repeat a pasuk to make sure we got it the right way, to make sure there are no mistakes?
Migos Esther.
Lashmir, Laharog, Vilaharog, Lifnehem, Bifnehem. There's another one, I think. I only know those two because they're actually Lahashmid in the one I laned in Frisch. Zayin Ches, where my Parakim I laned. But there's another one also. So it's a very strange thing that, is it true that, is it just, a coincidence that only these places, Megillas Esther and Amalek, where we repeat Psukim, these are the only times we have mistakes? Nowhere else are there any mistakes? Or maybe there are other mistakes, but we're just not so makbid. Well, who cares, Zecher, Zecher? That means the same thing. Why are we so crazy about Zecher and Zecher? The Sfardim, they don't care about this. Only Ashkenazim care about it. Lahashmid, Laharo, what's the big deal? Ekshavav, not Bifnam, Lifnam, it means the same thing. So maybe it's only these cases, or maybe there's a particular understanding that, when it comes to Sefer Yirmiyahu, there's a lot of kriuksivs. A lot of kriuksivs in Yirmiyahu, more than any other Sefer. So this is one of the things that I not told you that Barbanel said this, you would think it's apikorsis. That Barbanel writes that the reason why there's so many mistakes in Yirmiyahu is because he was a very young boy when he wrote Sefer Yirmiyahu. He was a big Eloi. He had Nevuah at a very young age. So his grammar wasn't the best. His spelling wasn't the best. So there are a lot of kriuksivs throughout. Most don't hold that way. That's a Barbanel in his understanding. But there are many mistakes. It could be in other places. So how come Dafka these places? So the idea is that, I think, if the reason why we were attacked by Malik was because we were rough Yudayim B'Torah, we were weak in our learning, so the only way to defend against it is strengthening our learning. And not just stam learning, but actually making sure the learning is one done in a very accurate way and very precise. That even though there might be another place in the Torah where we don't know exactly the vowel there, if it's a tzeira or a segol, it's an a or an e, we don't really, we care, but we're not so makbid. When it comes to Amalek in particular, we have to be so precise in our Limud HaTorah in order to fend them off, in order to ward them off. So too with the Megillas Esther, which of course is also an in and of Amalek. That's the idea. So perhaps, again, another suggestion why the Rush requires reading it B'tzibur is because that itself is a kiyum of Mechias Amalek. And just like Mechias Amalek is B'tzibur, so Zechira has to also be done B'tzibur.
Yeah. I was going to say something the opposite, but I mean, your explanation, of course, is like totally consistent with your personality of like the precision in learning that that's the cure. I was thinking that the way the Michias Amalek is through Emunah Pshuta, because everything that what's Amalek is Eshakar Chavadar. So all the thing about everything's Mikra and Kriris, all the learning that we do, that why was Amalek so bad? The way Rebbe always said, we strengthen that is with Emunah Pshuta and Kedusha Sabris. So it's, I'm not saying Emunah is like, it's not precise, but it's almost the exact opposite of a way of Emunah.
It's funny, so I once shared this idea with Rav Weinberger, just about the why Dafka these places have these mistakes to fix it. As a kiyum, we have to be precise in our learning. So he said the same, a similar idea. He says, the Hasidim would say the opposite, that Amalek, they create sveikas in our lives. They start making us second guess things and think of this, the way that way. And to be so OCD, if you will, about every single nekuda, that's actually fulfilling what they wanted to accomplish, to make it so crazy about every single letter. And the Chassidim say, no, we have to just go with it and muna pshuta and just kind of run with it and roll with the punches and don't be so crazy about these different things. That's what he responded back. So then my question is, so why dafka in these two places? Are we actually makbid on repeating the psukim to answer the mistakes? If it's really true, just that muna pshuta, so why do we repeat Zecher and Decher? Why do we do Lahashmid, Laharog, Vilarog? So I don't know what the answer is. I didn't ask for one really.
Okay.
Good plug for my Hasidic Shashir tonight. Okay. Now there is another interesting discussion that's connected to this point that comes up in the poskim, Machlokas, Magnev Rama, and the Mishnah Brura, whether or not you could fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek by reading Vayavo Amalek, a different parsha. Right? We know Amalek's mentioned at two different places. Parsha's Kisetze, that's Parsha Zachar as we read it. But it's also mentioned at the end of Parsha, so Bishalach Vayavo Amalek, which is only 9 psukim. You know, that's the only parsha that we actually read that has 9 psukim. The Gemara Megillah, we saw this together, I think. Did we? Maybe later on. The Gemara says that every single parsha has to have at least 10 psukim. 3, 3, and 4, the way you break up the aliyahs. And the Gemara says, well, which one should have 4 aliyahs? Should it be the Rishon? Should it be Shenir? Should it be Yisrael? And the Gemara says, whichever way you have it, it makes sense, because Rishon makes sense. We have oftentimes that the first aliyah is always Borchashev. The second one could be the 4 psukim. That could be more chashuv because we have Ner Maravi. Ner Maravi is the center Ner of the menorah, according to most shitas. So that's the center. We see that the center is more chashuv. So Sheni, Levi, could have the 4 psukim. And even Yisrael could have 4 psukim because Achron, Achron, Chaviv. Even the Malam Makodesh, Vema Rida, maybe the Gemara says. We go up in level. So whichever one has the 4 psukim is fine. But we see from the Gemara that it has to have at least 10 psukim. So the only exception where we have a laning that has less than 10 psukim is when we read Purim morning, Vayavo Amalek only has 9 psukim, which by the way might be another simon as to the chisaron of Limra Torah that Amalek did to us, that we only read 9 psukim, we're lacking in something until we've destroyed Amalek. So the question in the Magen Avraham is, are you allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek by reading the parsha Vayavo Amalek? So the Magen Avraham says you are Yotzei. And he says, people shouldn't be so crazy running to Shul Parsha Zachar. You could also catch it, Parsha B'Shalach, just as well. There's no difference. So the Mishnah Brura argues on this and says, no, one is not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Vayavo Amalek. Why not? Because it doesn't mention anywhere in the Vayavo Amalek Parsha anything about Mechias Amalek. It describes the story, what happened with Yeshua, with Moshe Rabbeinu, but it doesn't say that there's a mitzvah of Timcha Zecha Amalek anywhere, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham isn't bothered by this, though. He doesn't care. It still describes what happened. Who cares whether it's B'Shalach or Parshas Ki Tzeitzei? It still describes the story. So what's the Machlokas? So Machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura is as follows. That Mishnah Brura assumes the whole point of Zechira is in order to incite us, our own anger, towards Amalek to wipe them out. So it has to get a Zechira, which leads to a Mechiyah. Well, Parshas B'Shalach doesn't mention anywhere about a Mechiyah. It doesn't tell you, get so angry until you kill them, until you destroy them. So it says in Mishnah Brura, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Yavo Amalek since it doesn't mention a Mechiyah, because Zechira has to lead to a Mechiyah. But according to the Magen Avraham, he thinks that no, the Zechira, Zechiras Amalek, is an independent mitzvah. It's completely separate from the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. So although Vayavo Amalek doesn't mention anything about wiping out Amalek, he doesn't care. As long as you remember what they did, and that's mitzvah standalone, that's the understanding. So I think we'll stop here. I think that's enough. We did a lot today, but I think that's enough. So that's the basic understanding. Again, machlokas, whether the Parsha Zachar is deraisa, whether or not it's a minion, whether you need a minion or not, and whether or not you're yotze with Vayavah Malik either. We also discussed, as a side point, some interesting things about Losachanim and Eved Kanani, being a ger, being a Yisrael, being a non-Jew. The Yisrael Losachanim through different Yisurim, giving free gifts, giving nice compliments, and giving away land. Next week, we're going to discuss in Yirta Hashem the topic of a person in the middle of davening or a mitzvah or saying halal or megillah, and he has to take a pause for a few moments, and he takes a pause for long enough where he's able to finish the whole Shema, or the whole Tefillah. When he goes back and picks up where he left off, does he have to go back to the beginning, start Shemoneh Esrei all over again, or you could pick up where you left off, Makom Shepasuk. That's the next sugya. There's a big machlokas between the sugyas and Megillah versus Brachos, and a big understanding of how to understand Tefillah versus other mitzvahs. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.